Welcome to the Tennis Worthy Podcast. I'm Patrick McEnroe, coming to you from down under in Melbourne, Australia. We're into the second week of the first major of the year, and plenty of storylines are developing. Players are on the rise, and champions are soon to be crowned. Will career Grand Slams be clinched? Who will set themselves up for success in the rankings? Will there be breakout players who finally reach the pinnacle? A first career major singles title, perhaps? With the stars soon to align ahead of this weekend's finals, we look back at several Hall of Famers who reached that pinnacle for the very first time in Melbourne. Stefan Edberg in 1985, Mary Pierce in 1995, and Martina Hingis in 1997. These three legends share what it took to set themselves up for success, how they persevered, and what winning their first Australian Open title meant to them personally and professionally. And we start with Stefan Edberg, playing a final against fellow Swede Mats Wilander in an Australian Open that at that point was taking place on the grass of a private club.
Well, I think back in 85, playing at the Australian Open, everybody told me playing on grass is your game. And obviously when enough people tell you this is your game and you start believing in yourself, and I knew within myself that the grass would suit me. I knew that I had a chance. And obviously in 85 was a year where I played pretty badly. Not badly, but I didn't play well first week. And I think I was set down in 5-1 against Matt Anger. I was down match point to Wally Masu. But then second week, I started playing really, really well. And the pressure was off. And I think the key match was in the semifinal when I beat Lendl 9-7 in the fifth set. And then to play Mats in the final, who previously won that twice in a row, I think. But I knew, Mats, that if I could play my game and I could play well, at least I felt going into that final, I felt I had a pretty good chance. I had a good match behind me. There was a Monday final, so I had another extra day of rest after the five-set match. And I think just dictating in the beginning of the match and getting into the flow, which you sometimes do in tennis, I felt good all the way through the end. And suddenly, you won a slam. So it was amazing at the time. I think it was a relief, at least to myself, first of all, to prove that, well, this is my first Grand Slam. And obviously a lot of expectations from yourself, probably from other people around you that were expecting you to do well at some time. But it's not so easy to break through from being a junior where you're used to winning everything, and suddenly you become into the senior circuit and you start losing matches and you start playing against tougher opponents. So that's always been a challenge. And it takes some time. Sometimes it can go really quickly for some players. For me, it took a little bit of time. And I think in today's games, it probably takes even longer. So you've got to be patient.
While Stefan Edberg was just shy of his 20th birthday when he secured that first title in Australia, French woman Mary Pierce had already left her teenage years behind her. But at the age of 20, had to grow up quickly, dealing with an abusive father via a restraining order and in the full glare of tennis publicity. Her title then was the ultimate case of triumph over adversity.
I just felt, at the Australian Open, I had a good team around me. I had worked really hard before getting there. I had Sven Grunefeld, who was like my traveling coach. I had Jose Rincon, who was helping me do my fitness and off-court training. And I just felt really happy, and I was loving what I was doing. I felt very fit. I felt very prepared. I felt like I was moving really well, probably the best that I had been moving in my whole career. I felt like it was difficult to hit a ball past me, which before my speed wasn't my strength. So I felt, I don't want to say invincible, but I felt really good. And I was just very happy and enjoying my tennis and enjoying being out there on the court. And I think that just showed in my game, just a lot of confidence and being fit and being able to last the 2 weeks and feeling good and feeling, pretty fresh at the end of the tournament as well. I had set a goal for myself in the beginning of that year to finish in the top five and to win a Grand Slam tournament, because the year before, 94, at 19 years old, I made my first Grand Slam final at the French Open, and I lost that because I was very nervous and I didn't have any experience in a Grand Slam final, especially at the French Open. So when I arrived in Melbourne, making it all the way to the finals, I had confidence because I'd been in a Grand Slam final already, and I knew what to expect emotionally and mentally, so I felt prepared in that way much better than I did the year before. So that helped me, that Grand Slam final that I lost the year before. So going into that match, I felt a lot more peaceful, a lot more calmer, a lot more focused. And winning that match for me and winning that tournament, my first Grand Slam in Melbourne, helped me achieve my goals for the year. Basically, I finished number 3 after that, and I'd won a Grand Slam tournament. It was so amazing. I was so happy to win my first Grand Slam title. I think, you know, those are your ultimate goals that you set for yourself in tennis and for your career is to try to win a Grand Slam and try to see how many you can win in your whole career. And so to be able to do that at 20 years old for me felt, in a way, early and quick, but at the same time, I felt that I was ready for it. My game was, you know, I was playing aggressive tennis, I was hitting the ball hard, I was playing well. And in a way, it doesn't take, for me at least, it didn't take pressure off. It kind of did two things. It added more motivation that, to me, it showed me, wow, I can win a Grand Slam tournament at this level where I still feel I have so much that I can improve in my game and want to work on. So it encouraged me and motivated me to work even harder and be even better. And then it actually added pressure because now you're the one that everybody wants to beat and you're expected to win now when you go out on the court. And that's something that I hadn't experienced before. And that was a different and new kind of pressure when I was playing now after that. And everybody's watching, you know, Mary Pierce, Grand Slam champion, you started the year off and you're the hot player. And now everyone's looking at you to win and everyone wants to beat you. So different and new pressures that I hadn't experienced before. And that was a bit difficult in the beginning.
One player who was used to dealing with pressure from a young age was Martina Hingis. Just 12 years of age when she won the girls' singles title at Roland Garros, she was touted for early success at the Slams, and in 1997, she more than delivered, winning 3 of the 4, including here in Australia.
Well, when the season 97 started, I was just 16, but I was able to make the finals at the championships in New York, playing Steffi Graf in an epic 5-setter. So I felt like, you know, I deserved my place in the top rankings, and I was number 4. And yeah, kind of that end of the year was a bit of a breakthrough, making, you know, Grand Slam semifinals and moving up in the rankings. And so I felt like, yeah, when I go into 97, I definitely had confidence and was playing well and had a great preparation. So I felt like it could be a good year. But what happened in 97, no one can foresee something like that because, you know, I still, you know, many people were like, okay, is she old enough to win a Grand Slam? Is she, you know, like prepared for it? Is she mentally, you know, strong enough to do it? And that was my first step. I mean, I wanted to prove to win a Grand Slam at first. So I just was trying to go step by step, definitely. I liked playing there because we had built that surface at home, you know, a tennis court, after, you know, of playing at the hard courts in the U.S. And I grew up playing on clay and then a lot of indoors. But hard courts was always a bit of a more tricky place for me. And once we built that court, you know, we had it at home. I was, like I said, well prepared for it. And, you know, I always liked playing in Australia. It was a fresh start to the season. You know, everybody was mentally, you know, going out there. Everybody was excited, and so was I. And I just really tried to play match by match. I had felt like I had beaten those players before. And also, on the other hand, I didn't feel as much pressure because I had nothing to lose. If I didn't win in that year, I mean, I felt like I had more years to come. I felt actually very comfortable playing in the finals because, you know, Mary Pierce had made the finals of, I think, the previous year, or she had even won. So she was the favorite in a way. So I just stepped out there and played well from the start. And actually, find kind of funny when you look at the highlights now, it felt like she was winning the match because she was hitting winners right and left. But on the other hand, I was winning the games and won the match. But I mean, she's a great player, and I felt like, okay, it could be my time. It's went out there, and from the start, from the beginning, I felt really comfortable, and that was the difference. Yeah, you know, especially looking back at it, I think in my time it was a bit more common that young players were doing well, especially teenagers up until 20. If you didn't win a Grand Slam, you're like, okay, you're never going to win a Grand Slam. So the pressure was already out there that, you know, when you make the transition from juniors, that the good players were able to do it and played well right away. I mean, before me, it was Monica Seles, it was Jennifer Capriati who made the stand, and there was me, and I tried to just kind of follow their path and in their footsteps, and I was able to do it. So, but now today, thinking about it, how young I was, it's kind of crazy, yes.
From first-time breakthroughs on the grass in 1985 to teenage triumphs on the hard courts of the 90s, Stefan, Martina, and Mary remind us that the road to a major title is paved with both patience and preparation. And as we head into this weekend's finals here in Melbourne, we'll see which of today's stars can handle the pressure and cement their own place in Grand Slam history. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Tennis Worthy Podcast. I'm President Patrick McEnroe of the Tennis Hall of Fame. Enjoy history again being made this weekend from Down Under.